by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are grass make the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Got a lot going this week. We've had Soleimani assassination over in Baghdad. And the impeachment started out, and then we went to the assassination there in Baghdad. And that's pretty well dominated. Earlier on, we had the oil worker that was killed, and so it's just really building up to be quite a year from the word go. But here we go with President Trump stating what happened and why he took this action.
Well, thank you very much, and good afternoon. As president, my highest and most solemn duty is the defense of our nation and its citizens. Last night, at my direction, the United States military successfully executed a flawless precision strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani. Soleimani was plotting imminent and sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel. But we caught him in the act and terminated him. Under my leadership, America's policy is unambiguous to terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American. We will find you. We will eliminate you. We will always protect our diplomats, service members, all Americans, and our allies. For years, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its ruthless Quds force under Soleimani's leadership has targeted, injured, and murdered hundreds of American civilians and servicemen. The recent attacks on U.S. targets in Iraq, including rocket strikes that killed an American and injured four American servicemen very badly, as well as a violent assault on our embassy in Baghdad, were carried out at the direction of Soleimani. Soleimani made the death of innocent people his sick passion, contributing to terrorist plots as far away as New Delhi and London. Today we remember and honor the victims of Soleimani's many atrocities, and we take comfort in knowing that his reign of terror is over. Soleimani has been perpetrating acts of terror to destabilize the Middle East for the last 20 years. What the United States did yesterday should have been done long ago. A lot of lives would have been saved. Just recently, Soleimani led the brutal repression of protesters in Iran, where more than 1,000 innocent civilians were tortured and killed by their own government. We took action last night to stop a war. We did not take action to start a war. I have deep respect for the Iranian people. They are a remarkable people with an incredible heritage and unlimited potential. We do not seek regime change. However, the Iranian regime's aggression in the region, including the use of proxy fighters to destabilize its neighbors, must end, and it must end now. The future belongs to the people of Iran, those who seek peaceful coexistence and cooperation, not the terrorist warlords who plunder their nation to finance bloodshed abroad. The United States has the best military by far anywhere in the world. We have the best intelligence in the world. If Americans anywhere are threatened, we have all of those targets already fully identified, and I am ready and prepared to take whatever action is necessary. And that in particular refers to Iran. Under my leadership, we have destroyed the ISIS territorial caliphate. And recently, American Special Operations Forces killed the terrorist leader known as al-Baghdadi. The world is a safer place without these monsters. America will always pursue the interests of good people, great souls, while seeking peace, harmony, and friendship with all of the nations of the world. Thank you. God bless you. God bless our great military, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Next up is we have Karim Sanjapur with the Carnegie International for Peace, and then also Admiral Michael Mullen. And they're going to express their reasons why that this went on and this happened. And I think both were supportive of it, but they're not sure what might possibly be the outcome of it. But here we go with this interview, this PBS interview now.
One question now, how may Iran respond to today's American military strike? And how well prepared is the U.S. military to withstand Iran's retaliation? Nick Schifrin is back with more on that.
We now get two views from people who watch or have dealt with Iran over the years. Retired Admiral Michael Mullen was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 2007 to 2011, at a time when the U.S. significantly increased the number of troops in Iraq and the war in Iraq intensified. And here with me is Karim Sanjapur, an Iran expert at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, a global bipartisan think tank. Welcome back to you both to the NewsHour. Thank you very much. Karim Sanjapur, let me start with you. How irreplaceable is Qasem Soleimani?
Well, Nick, Iran is the only country in the world which is simultaneously fighting three proxy wars with the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. And Soleimani has been managing these proxy wars for the last two decades. He's been leading Iran's fight in places like Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Yemen. And he had very effectively built up a Shiite foreign legion to project Iranian power throughout the Middle East. He was a figure who was widely respected within the Iranian regime and with Iran's regional allies. If you talk to U.S. military commanders, they would say he's enemy number one for the United States, far greater than Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, Baghdadi, and others. So I would say he's as close to being irreplaceable to Iran as any other individual in that regime.
Admiral Mullen, do you agree he is as irreplaceable as anyone is in Iran outside of the leaders of the country itself?
Well, it's not a perfect comparison, Nick, but I do agree. I think the loss of Soleimani is the equivalent of the loss of bin Laden or Baghdadi to the organization in which each of them represents. And Soleimani has been a brilliant strategist. He has been the controlling entity inside Iran for two decades, and this is a huge loss for the national security apparatus inside Iran. I know we often talk, someone will come in behind him, I'm sure of that, but it will not be somebody that has the same kind of capability as Soleimani. So it's good riddance to him after a long period of time.
I'm reminded that Soleimani could go to Moscow, could go to Beirut, could go to Damascus, Karim Sanjapur. The fact that he could do that means that Iran has the ability to respond across the region, as you said, a foreign legion of Shia militia groups. What's the most likely Iranian response, given how high profile, given how important he was to the country?
Well, the regime has to respond or else they will lose face. But if they respond excessively, they could risk losing their heads. And for the Iranian regime, what's paramount is their own survival. Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader, is 80 years old. He's been ruling for 30 years. He's not a gambler. I think that Iran has plenty of means at its disposal to respond, both regionally and internationally. They like to operate via proxy. They like to have plausible deniability. These days, in the era of drones and cyber attacks, they'll be sure to employ that. And we know the old expression that revenge is a dish best served cold. I don't think that they're not likely to launch all hell in the next 48 hours, but this is going to be a sustained proxy war against the United States and U.S. allies for many months to come.
And even more intense than it already is?
More intense, certainly.
Admiral Mullen, I want to come back to something that you said, the fact that Soleimani has been the kind of the controlling entity for two decades for some of these efforts that Iran. Take me back to your time as chairman. You served both in the Bush administration at the end of it and into the Obama administration. In both of those administrations, there were opportunities to kill Soleimani. Why were those opportunities not taken back then?
I think the target list, if you will, in those times did not include Soleimani. And that's different from the terrorist organizations of Al-Qaeda in Iraq and ISIS over time. That said, he was somebody that we kept a very close eye on and knew where he was and still felt the sooner he was gone, the better. I think the fact that he's a government representative and official, spent a lot of time, obviously, in Iran. So it's a different approach in terms of assassinating somebody. In this case, he's a military commander on the ground in Iraq with what appears to be exquisite intelligence on our part, and he's planning to kill more Americans. He's a legitimate target now, and for that those reasons, actually, I'm very supportive of taking him out. I recognize there's significant risk here. I think the Trump administration, since it left the nuclear deal, has been ratcheting it up. I worry that there's no off-ramp for Iran, and there's no off-ramp for the U.S. for a diplomatic solution. So the risks are high. I just think from the standpoint of eliminating somebody who really was the strategic link for Iran's national security was, at this particular point, worth that risk.
Karim Sajapour, there are critics of this strike, and as Admiral Mullen says, one of them is about escalation, but he also brought up the nuclear deal. On Monday, Iran has promised to step away a little bit more from the Iran nuclear deal. Could they actually do even something more dramatic when it comes to nuclear for a response?
Well, I will expect Iran to put its foot on the accelerator again in the nuclear context. Now, they're very careful not to go from 0 to 100. They'll try to go from 0 to 20. The goal is to really further split the international community. They're not going to announce that they're moving full speed ahead for a bomb, something that would unite China, Russia, and Europe with the Trump administration. They want to move deliberately in a way that the world will essentially blame the Trump administration for provoking Iran rather than blaming Iran. And so they'll restart their nuclear program. They'll continue to launch proxy attacks on the region. And pretty soon there will be pressure from Israel as Iran is inching towards nuclear weapons capability. You know, there will be pressure from Israel on the United States to take preemptive military action.
And Admiral Mullen, you mentioned no off-ramp. In the time we have left, how concerned are you about the chances of escalation, the cycle of escalation, and the fact, as you put it, that there is no off-ramp to that escalation right now?
It's been very difficult to see what the end game is for the Trump administration with respect to Iran, and specifically the diplomatic channel that needs to be created so that we can both step down from this ladder, if you will, before something really bad happens. We are in a situation where escalation has taken place, and in that, miscalculation can take place, in which case it could really, really result in a disastrous outcome and another war in the Middle East, which is the last thing in the world we need.
And a war that President Trump has promised not to actually get into, right?
He has, but it's very clear, and this strike is an example, that he will take action to defend U.S. interests and U.S. citizens. So the options or the space to maneuver here is just getting smaller and smaller. Someone needs to take a step to get us off this path before something really bad happens.
Mike Mullen, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Karim Sajapour, Carnegie Endowment here with me. Thank you very much to you both.
Thanks, Nick.
Here's sort of a contrarian view about Tulsi Gabbard, U.S. representative from Hawaii and also a candidate for presidency from the Democratic Party. And here's what she had to say. And she's a little doubtful that this is going to work out. So listen carefully, but we need to put up some of these contrarian views also. Here we go now with Tulsi Gabbard.
Iran vowing to retaliate after U.S. airstrikes take down the Iranian general Qassem Soleimani.
Here with her reaction is 2020 candidate and House Armed Services Committee member Tulsi Gabbard, who joins us right now from Manchester, New Hampshire. She's running for president. Tulsi, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Aloha.
Aloha, indeed. We know that you were having a town hall there in New Hampshire last night when this news broke. What do you make of the president's order to take out Soleimani?
This was very clearly an act of war by this president without any kind of authorization or declaration of war from Congress, clearly violating the Constitution. It further escalates this tit-for-tat that's going on and on and on, will elicit a very serious response from Iran and pushing us deeper and deeper into this quagmire. And it really begs the question, for what? What are we trying to accomplish? What is the end state and the goal here? Look, I've said for a long time that going to war with Iran would make the war in Iraq and even in Afghanistan look like a picnic. It will be far more costly and devastating in American lives and in taxpayer dollars. And I don't believe the American people want to go to war with Iran. They understand how serious this is.
Congresswoman, how do you justify it when you look at the statistics? The State Department says 70% of all U.S. deaths in Iraq from 2003 to 2011 were orchestrated by Soleimani. I mean, when they attack our embassy, are we supposed to just stand by and let the Iranian-backed militias invade our territory and possibly kill Americans?
Yeah, no, look, there is no question about how evil this guy is. No one should shed a single tear for his death. But that's not really the question here. The real question is, what are we trying to accomplish here in this country, and where will this decision that this president made to escalate this these tensions and this crisis and commit this act of war without congressional authorization, it will lead us to an outcome that actually further undermines our national security and needlessly sends more of our troops into harm's way. You know, Trump talked a lot in his campaign for the presidency, and even since he's been in office, about how he wants to end forever wars. But his actions tell a different story. Just since May of last year alone, May of 2019 alone, we've seen more than 15,000 U.S. troops, additional U.S. troops, being deployed across the Middle East, all of these actions pushing us closer and closer to this war with Iran. And this step that he just took last night seriously, seriously escalated the situation.
So when you look at their influence in Iran, when you look at Iran's, in Syria, when you look at Iran's influence in Lebanon, when you look at Iran's influence in Iraq, when you look at their influence throughout the region and now their pursuit, covert and overt, of a nuclear weapon, are you comfortable with us just pulling back and watching, just sitting in the stands and saying, pass the popcorn?
Yeah, no, I think we need to figure out why and how we've gotten to this point where Iran has a much greater level of influence and presence in Iraq and Syria, as you mentioned. It was because of our regime change wars in Iraq and Libya and Syria that we've seen these countries turn, Iraq and Syria especially, turn more towards Iran for help and for assistance, strengthening their partnerships and allowing for Iran to gain far greater influence and presence in many different respects in these countries. Mm-hmm. Really, the question that we need to ask ourselves now is, we have men and women in harm's way today in these countries, and what purpose are they serving? Originally, it was that they needed to go and to prevent another al-Qaeda insurgency, an attack and threat to the United States, to defeat these terrorists that attacked us on 9/11. That's the congressional authorization that our troops are there for. But really, what we're seeing now is that's not actually the case. Al-Qaeda is stronger. And it is becoming more clear that our troops are really there to fight against Iran. Once again, a war that Congress has not authorized. There has been no declaration of war against Iran.
I don't think we're looking to fight against
Iran. Really important point.
I think that was a response to the rocketing of our base and then our embassy.
Those are the two sides that you have there. You have, you know... But I must agree on some of the things that that Tulsi Gabbard said is that there's a great, I think, consensus that maybe we shouldn't have been there to start with back in 2003. He maybe or maybe did not have weapons of mass destruction and so forth. But why did we go into Afghanistan? Because of 9/11? Why did we eventually go into, Iraq because of these weapons of mass destruction and so forth? And they did invade Kuwait and so forth. Saddam Hussein did. So he was very much of an aggressor there, and that's one reason why we eventually went in there into Iraq. So these people are not blameless and so forth, but, you know, are we going to get entangled in a war in this? And this is what always is behind my thinking and my caution to anyone that's arguing one side or the other. Here we go with Lindsey Graham. He was talking and consulting with President Trump during this crisis. Here we go now with Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham.
General Soleimani. He has been to the Middle East probably more than any other active official. Senator Lindsey Graham joins us now. He's chairman of the Judiciary Committee, member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he doesn't need notes to know what Soleimani has done to Americans in the past. Sir, first off, Senator, how significant is this move, and what has Soleimani done in the past to Americans that you've seen?
Well, he's killed, the cone-shaped IEDs that killed over 600 Americans came from Iran. How significant is this? We killed the most powerful man in Iran, short of the Ayatollah. He was the right fist of the Ayatollah, and we took the Ayatollah's arm off. But this is not an act of revenge for what he'd done in the past. This was a preemptive defensive strike planned to take out the organizer of attacks yet to come. The intelligence was very strong that Soleimani was orchestrating chaos in Iraq at our expense and throughout the region. The president was informed of these potential attacks, and he acted. This was a defensive strike to neutralize future attacks that were being planned and executed by Soleimani and the Popular Mobilization Front, the Shiite militias in Iraq.
All right. So, Senator, it was preemptive because bad things were coming, the American government believed. The worry now is the retaliation because the Iranians have pledged a crushing response. You say if they mess around with us, next stop, their oil fields, right?
Well, what I'm trying to do is create deterrence. So this was a preemptive attack to let everybody in the world know, from North Korea, just anybody else, that if you come after Americans on President Trump's watch, you do so at your peril. All the things that Soleimani had done in the past were real, but he's not dead today because of what he did in the past. He's dead today because he miscalculated what President Trump would do regarding future attacks. So what are they thinking about in Tehran right now? Revenge. What are they thinking about inside Iraq? All of these Shiite militias are going to have 3 days of mourning. What kind of command and control do they have regarding Tehran? Mm-hmm. Who makes the decisions to strike, and what kind of strikes are they contemplating? How would you stop retaliation through deterrence? What's the one thing that the regime can't afford to lose?
Oil.
The ability to refine oil.
Yeah.
So what President Trump has done is up the ante as high as you can up it. He's killed the most consequential military leader in Iran. He's killed the guy who's spreading terror throughout the world. When you say that Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism, the question is who leads that effort? It was Soleimani. They will not let this go unanswered.
Yes,
so
Senator,
here's what President...
Senator, yeah. Have you spoken to the president? Is this what he's thinking, or is this what you're thinking?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I was briefed about the potential operation when I was down in Florida. I appreciate being brought into the orbit. I really appreciate President Trump letting the world know you cannot kill an American without impunity. We will stand up for our people, and that is an absolutely essential message. But now, what will change Iran's calculation? How we respond. They're going to come after us with a vengeance if we do not reset the table pretty quickly. And if I were the president, I would put on the table targets in Iran, not Iraq and Syria, economic targets that would crush the economy. The maximum pressure campaign has worked. What would take it to the next level would be destroy the ability of the Iranians to refine oil and sell it. The oil refineries are the last thing they have in terms of an economy.
Senator Nancy Pelosi, she said that tonight's airstrike risks provoking further dangerous escalation of violence. America and the world cannot afford to have tensions escalate to the point of no return. Ilhan Omar is saying that this was a conspiracy theory, that the president just wants distraction from the impeachment trial. And then Adam Schiff says the world is better off without Soleimani, but Congress didn't authorize the attack. What's your response? Do you think Congress should have made the decision, or the president should have consulted Congress?
The last group of people you want to talk to about this is Democrats in Congress, Republicans in Congress, okay? As to Omar, this is not a distraction. What President Trump did is save thousands or hundreds of American lives and our allies. The attacks that they were planning against American interests were real. The rocketing of the compound, killing the contractor, was foreshadowing of what was to come. To all those Democrats who are criticizing the president, I was aware of what his options were. They were about to unleash holy hell on our people in Iraq and throughout the region, and the president decisively took action. Now, how do you prevent this from really going bad? You've got to put on the table quickly, in my view, the consequences of retaliation by the Iranians. They got to know what comes next. We took out the number one military mind of Iran. Okay, the next thing we need to put on the table is the number one economic engine of Iran is the oil refineries. The president has to convince the Ayatollah that if he retaliates, our response will be greater than the market will bear.
Senator, there's no doubt about it. George Bush and Barack Obama had shots at him. Did they make a mistake not taking those shots?
Well, see, this is always complicated. When the president brought it up to me, I was taken back, because the popular mobilization front, there are thousands of people in Iraq being armed by Iranians. These Shiite militias are the ones that attacked our embassy. I'm worried about the stability of the Iraqi government today. I have no idea how they're going to respond. Soleimani was killed in Baghdad. He was in Baghdad. He was killed on Iraqi soil. But the reason the action was taken is that he was planning and about to operationalize further attacks against Americans. I hope our Iraqi allies understand that we're not going to allow our soldiers to be attacked by outside interests like Soleimani, and people are going to pay a price if you come after an American, even in Iraq. So we need them to reject the Soleimani model and embrace the fact that our troops are going to be protected. They need to help us to protect our troops. I'm looking to the Iraqis to up their game when it comes to helping us protect America.
But Iran put these lawmakers in place. They're going to vote to expel us.
Okay, so this is the Kurds have no love for the Iranians. The Sunni Iraqis have no love. You got Shiite Iraqis. Some of them spent time in Iran during the war. They hated Saddam, but they're mostly Shiite nationalists. They're Iraqi nationalists. They have ties to the Ayatollah, but there's an element inside of Iraq that are completely wedded to the Quds force, and those are the ones I worry about. But the overwhelming opinion of Iraqis is they don't want Iran to run Iraq.
I would think not.
And now it's going to be a time of testing of the Iraqi political system and their military system. They've got to choose between the Ayatollah and us.
Yeah, it's quite a choice. Senator, thank you very much for joining us live.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Lindsey Graham, good job.
Coming up next is Secretary of State Pompeo and what he has to say about what's happening in Soleimani and so forth, and what can be expected from the Iranians and where we stand on this right now. So here we go with Secretary Pompeo.
Let's go out to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, kind enough to be joining us live at this very important moment in American military and security history. Mr. Secretary, thanks so much for joining us. Can you bring us back to that decision when you realized you would have a shot at General Soleimani and you wanted to take that shot?
Well, Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
President Trump made the decision, a serious decision, which was necessary. There was an imminent attack. The orchestrator, the primary motivator for the attack was Qasem Soleimani, attempt to disrupt that plot. You all have been talking this morning about the history of who Qasem Soleimani is. He's got hundreds of American lives, blood on his hands. But what was sitting before us was his travels throughout the region and his efforts to make a significant strike against Americans. There would have been many Muslims killed as well, Iraqis, people in other countries as well. It was a strike that was aimed at both disrupting that plot, deterring further aggression. We hope setting the conditions for de-escalation as well.
All right. You know, the Pentagon did release a statement that one of the reasons that he was taken out now was because he was planning more attacks on Americans. What can you tell us about that generally?
Steve, I can't say much more, but you need not look any further back than just the last few months. Dozens and dozens of attacks against American and allied interests throughout the region by Iran and its proxies, culminating in what happened with an American killed on December 27th. But we've had artillery rounds fired in the direction of Americans to Iraqi facilities. There have been a series of actions, and we've watched that escalation take place. There was an American UAV shot down, and the restraint that President Trump had shown was important. And it's now the time we needed to take action to restore deterrence. So the men and women who are on the ground there today, we take seriously the need for their security. We're working on it. We've been planning for this, and we're prepared.
Now, if Iran does retaliate, I've heard some experts say they don't always retaliate immediately. It could take a long time. What are the president's military options? Lindsey Graham has suggested maybe taking out their three oil refineries. What do you say?
Ainsley, I certainly don't want to get out in front of how the president will decide to respond, other than to say this. I think the Iranian leadership understands that President Trump will take action. We've made this clear for months. When I was the CIA director, we made very clear that these responses would be swift and decisive. We've now demonstrated that. I hope that the Iranian leadership will see that. They'll see American resolve, and that their decision will be to de-escalate, to take actions consistent with what normal nations do. And in the event that they do not, in the event they go the other direction, I know that President Trump and the entire United States government is prepared to respond appropriately.
Mr. Secretary, I was struck by some of the people that were calling out you and other members of the administration, one of which is Ambassador Chris Hill, who for 16 months was in Iraq. And I really can't point out much that went well during his tenure, but he felt secure enough to make this comment a couple of days ago.
The U.S. government has a kind of cartoon image of what is happening in that part of the world, and one worries whether the administration has the sort of horsepower and brain power to deal with them.
Do you have the brain power, horsepower to deal with this?
Yeah, I don't pay much attention to what folks like that say. I know precisely what President Trump has given as our direction. I know the mission set. The whole team does. We're focused on making sure for the day that we're secure, that we're doing everything we can to prepare to have the resources in the region to respond. I think they're positioned appropriately, and we're confident. We also can't fail to mention, we gave the Iraqis a real opportunity. We watched these protests over the last months. These protests weren't against America. They were against the terrible leadership that had come out of Iraq over the past decades. And we watched last night, you saw the video of Iraqis dancing in the streets. They're happy too. The absence of Qasem Soleimani is a boon to this region. And we reduced risk last night. It was very clear that we did so. And we will continue to take actions to reduce risk and to protect Americans. President Trump's been very clear about that. And nothing is different today than it was yesterday with respect to that.
Clearly, this is part of the president's maximum pressure campaign, which he has launched on a number of entities. In the past, I know you have been critical of certain members of President Obama's administration who you felt were undermining the president's maximum pressure campaign by saying to Iran behind the scenes, hey, just hang on. Once he loses in 2020, we'll be able to go back to the way things used to be.
Yeah, that kind of activity is never appropriate. It is especially bad when it puts American lives at risk. So I would hope that those former administration officials will just simply get off the stage and allow President Trump and our team to do the right thing. Look, we took a very different approach. We didn't send pallets of cash to the Iranians. We didn't pay for hostages. We didn't create a deal which would have given them a clear pathway to a nuclear weapon. We've taken a very different approach. We believe it's the one that will ultimately lead to success and stability in the Middle East.
Yeah, this is the non-Benghazi. So what do you know about the other individuals that were killed? I've heard seven. I've heard eight people. One of the guys, in addition to Soleimani, was the Iraqi militia commander, Abu Mahdi al-Mahandis. What do you know about him?
So he was the leader of the Iraqi Shia. He was the primary contact for Qasem Soleimani when it came to Shia militia forces acting in Iraq. He was a bad guy. I can only confirm that General Soleimani is dead, but if Abdul Mahdi Mohandas is passed away as well, again, less risk in the Middle East, more freedom for Iraqis, more opportunity for Iraqi people to stand up and get a independent, free, sovereign Iraq built. It's what America's been there for. We'll continue to work it. We'll continue to fight ISIS in the region. We're committed to making sure that Americans are safe from terror wherever we find it.
So I understand the New York Times reporting that Donald Trump did something that George W. Bush and Barack Obama did not want to do because they feared there would be reprisals. They could have taken out Soleimani in the past, but they didn't want to take the risk. You know there's a risk to every move like this. Why was this risk worth it now? Because I imagine over the last 2.5, 3 years, you've also had a shot at him in the past, U.S. CIA director, or as I might have heard from your own former Secretary of Defense. Why now?
Well, now was important because of the escalations that's taken place, as well as the imminency of attack that Qasem Soleimani himself was planning. But, Brian, I think you know this. The risk of doing nothing was enormous. Enormous in the short term, in terms of the imminent attack that Qasem Soleimani was plotting, but also highly risky. Doing nothing in this region shows weakness. It emboldens Iran. It's what's happened under the previous administration for 8 years, where the Iranians felt free to conduct hundreds of attacks. We know that this didn't work. President Trump has taken a fundamentally different approach, and we're confident that our strategy that we've developed, not only the economic pressure, but building out coalition forces in the Straits of Hormuz, working to reinforce our Saudi and Emirati partners, all the things that we have done to create the conditions for a more stable and peaceful and prosperous Middle East, we think this is a part of.
Mr. Secretary, a number of Democrats running for president have said, yep, he was a bad guy. But at the same time, a number of Democrats are also wanting the president to explain what legal authority he used to take this guy out, because he wasn't just a terrorist. He was a member of the Iranian government.
Yeah, we shouldn't forget, it's General Soleimani. He's a military commander. He's a military commander who was actively engaged in plotting to kill Americans in the region. We had an important set of underlying reasons to take this strike. It was wholly lawful. We're confident that we not only got it right legally, but we got it right strategically.
We've heard the experts say that this is the number two guy over there. I know you delayed your trip to the Middle East. What does this mean for negotiations going forward?
To Ukraine.
I'm sorry, is the question about Iraq or Iran?
Well, what does this mean for negotiations going forward? I know you delayed your trip to the Ukraine. What does this mean for negotiations with Iran going forward?
Well, the president's been pretty clear. We don't seek war with Iran, but we at the same time are not going to stand by and watch the Iranians escalate and continue to put American lives at risk without responding in a way that disrupts, defends, deters, and creates an opportunity to de-escalate the situation.
Are you prepared for the retaliation of our embassies around the region, whether it's Yemen, Oman, Iraq in particular? The one thing about Iran, and they even rumored to have sleeper cells here, they are pretty fanned out. How fortified and how firm are our defenses?
Yeah, Brian, we've known for a long time that there was risk not only in Baghdad at our embassy, but around the region. We've done all that we can to prepare to secure those facilities. The Department of Defense and the State Department have been working closely together on that. And President Trump's made clear we're going to take all necessary action.
Right.
We'll have the resources we need to achieve that.
Mr. Secretary, there's no doubt about it. The reports were that you were about to hit back at Iran after they took out our $200 million drone. And others say you were ready to, and the president at the last minute changed his mind. When did the president make the decision? And up until the last minute, were you ready to back off if the president changed his mind?
Ron, I don't want to talk about the decision-making process. I'll only say this. This was a thoughtful approach. It was an intelligence-based approach. It was a whole-of-government approach. And President Trump, through this whole process, was in charge of directing our actions. And as we moved through the day yesterday, it became clear that we were going to have this opportunity to disrupt this plot, and we achieved that.
Mr. Secretary, final question for you. While Brian was asking about the embassies and the potential for terrorism over there, for the folks watching right here, you know, they're way over there. There could be some terrorism here, but something that's a real concern is cyber terrorism. I would imagine that precautions have been taken to make sure they can't fiddle with our internet.
Steve, there's always risk of cyber attacks. Iranians have a deep and complex cyber capability, to be sure. Know that we've certainly considered that risk. Your point about risk here in the United States is real, too. Qasem Soleimani himself, the man that we took out yesterday, orchestrated an attack right here in Washington, D.C., not too terribly long ago. It was unsuccessful, but that was him. That was the same guy. He's a bad actor. He was involved in the Beirut bombings and that killed Americans. This is a guy with enormous blood on his hands. And the actions that we took yesterday were both consistent with deterrence and with disrupting that imminent attack.
All right. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, joining us on a very busy day. Sir, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thanks for making time for us. We truly appreciate it.
Here we go with Syrian girl coming up next. She's got a lot to say about what's going on over there. And so it's good to listen to this little gal. She's got a lot of good things to say. Here we go now.
And why create enemies of them now? That's the question. What's going to happen now? Well, we're witnessing what's happening now. They're going to have a troop surge, and the Iraq invasion is going to happen all over again. It's going to be 2020 is now 2003 all over again, except now there's no allies. There's no Shiites to work alongside with as there was in 2003. Now, both the Sunnis, the Shiites, and even some of the Kurds have been disgruntled. Now, they're all the enemy. And who has been supportive of such a troop surge? Nancy Pelosi said it was needed. I mean, this woman, you know, her father actually was one of the founders of Israel. He was part of one of the original terrorist organizations that was active before Israel was created. It was regarded as a terrorist organization by the British to try to create Israel. After 16 years of war in Iraq, you know, most people want U.S. soldiers to come home. And that now that ISIS has been defeated for the majority, that's what happened. But the military-industrial complex, that would make them lose a lot of money, and so they wanted another excuse to stay, so now they targeted the people that were fighting ISIS. This is an act, what happened was an act of war. This is, if anything's an act of war, this is it. This is the kind of thing that started World War I. And now we are at the threat of world war. We are a threat of war, a big war. You know, Soleimani was one of the people that made the Iran nuclear deal. In the same way that Gaddafi, you know, he actually made a deal with the U.S. and Europe and made an alliance with them, and he got rid of his chemical weapons, etc. But what this thing has shown us is that you can't make peace deals with these neocons in this deep state.
Wow.
You just can't, because it'll kill you later.
All right. Syrian girl's here with us. I appreciate her coming on. I want to jam your calls in. I did good the first hour or two. Then I got behind with Pachinik on. But it's been a powerful broadcast today. We're praying for peace. We hope this doesn't escalate. But I see why Trump did it. Now, Syrian girl is a really smart lady, and she's been on many times over the years. It's been too long since she's been on. I'm glad she's here. And you can find her on Twitter at Partisan Girl and at Patreon at Syrian Girl. And I'm not going to go into her whole past or who she is, but maybe she should recap. She hadn't been on the show in probably a year, which she should be on every day with this stuff going on. And she's welcome to not – she doesn't have to tell me, Alex, you've done good. I like you, but you're wrong. I respect her perspective because when you've got all these countries doing this, a lot of times both sides can be right depending on your perspective. And I'm not being moral relativist here. It's just it does – you know, depend on where you're at. But she's definitely been a very accurate person on the fake chemical attacks, on what's happened in Syria, how Iran came in and helped stop al-Qaeda and ISIS taking over and killing all the religious minorities. So I think that the Soleimani, you know, did good work there. But, you know, now you've got proxy wars and the rest of this stuff going on. So she's here to give us her take on that. So thanks for coming on, Syrian girl.
Thanks so much for having me on, Alex. Even though I'm, you know, don't have to say it, it's still, it's, I really respect the fact that you allow people onto your show, even if you don't agree on everything. And so I'm glad to be here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to agree with your perspective. I think you're right about all this. It's just that Iran's been pushing us around and Trump, and working with the deep state, I think, to embarrass Trump. So that's why he went ahead and killed him. And so I know why Trump did it. I'm not even saying in the fullness of it, I think it's a good idea. But I do see why Trump did it. But give us your expert take on this.
Well, firstly, this man, you know, this is probably the first anyone in the U.S. has heard of him, but he is actually a very powerful general in the Iranian military, probably the most powerful general. And in fact, he was working with the United States to fight ISIS for the last few years. He fought alongside them in battles in, you know, in Mosul, at Kirkuk, and also in Afghanistan. So, you know, he has in the past, you know, been seen as kind of a friend. And now they've suddenly come up with all this stuff about him after they assassinated him, saying that he killed Americans whose names we haven't been told. And now they've changed it to he hasn't killed Americans, but he will kill America. He was going to. And that's why we killed him. Of course, all of this is not really true. This is just justification. This is about isolating Iran. The problem they have is that the deep state had this goal. They were going to get in Syria Al-Qaeda in power. So if we remember during you were there, I know you fought against the Iraq war in 2003 and all the propaganda and lies that we were told then. We were told that the Shiites were going to greet the United States as liberators and that they were going to get rid of Saddam. And after 2003, they got rid of Saddam, which wasn't a religious man. And they basically, the U.S., under the U.S.'s control, they installed a Shiite government. And now in Syria, they're trying to get rid of Assad and install, well, they tried to install a Muslim Brotherhood government. We know that. That's just a fact of history. And we know that Al-Qaeda and the leader of Al-Qaeda is still holed up in Idlib, where the leader of ISIS was also holed up, al-Baghdadi. And yet we have statements coming out from the White House saying that they don't want Assad and Russia to go in and get al-Jolani, and yet they have time to assassinate this Iranian guy that fought ISIS. So the plan was to get Shiites in power in Iraq, to get the Muslim Brotherhood or Sunni extremists in power in Syria, and then have them fight each other. Now, that didn't work out. So now the Iranian presence in Iraq has become a more of a liability. And that's why they're targeting it. And if you notice, in last week when they struck the Iraqi-Syrian border, that's also goes to show you that what they're targeting here is that alliance, that connection between Iraq, Syria, and Iran. And that's what's it's a danger not to the United States.
They don't want Iran linking up and creating, you know, their own Shiite Islamic state through there. Why then, and of course what you're saying is true from that perspective, you're right. Why then did they attack the embassy and give Trump the pretext to kill him?
Well, Iran didn't attack the embassy. It was Iraqis who was protesting outside the embassy. The reason they protested was because of the bombing that happened on the Syrian-Iraqi border. Those Iraqis, while they were, you know, supportive of Iran, at the same time, we have to remember that a couple of weeks prior to that, other Iraqis that were supported by the United States attacked the Iranian embassy and destroyed that. So there was all this stuff happening beforehand that nobody is linking together.
No, you're right about all Iran that, but they did go into the facility and burn a bunch of it down and take stuff, too. They weren't just protesting outside. And a lot of them are with the, you know, in the militia that's controlled by Iran. So but I, yes, I understand it's an ongoing. So what do you think is going to come out of this?
The Iranian embassy was burned as well. They went inside that and burned it, too. But Iran never assassinated.
Where do you think all this is? Where do you think all this is going?
Well, unfortunately, you know, these militias that Iran is supporting There was an error message that popped up on my computer. These militias, they did fight ISIS alongside American soldiers. So, you know, yes, they are militias, but the fact is even Syria has had to use militias because the army wasn't enough. They call them PMF, the People's Mobilization Forces. Unfortunately, because ISIS was overrunning the country, they had to dig in to get militias, but those militias did, you know, they did help out. And why create enemies of them now? That's the question. What's going to happen now? Well, we're witnessing what's happening now. They're going to have a troop surge and the Iraq invasion is going to happen all over again. It's going to be 2020 is now 2003 all over again, except now there's no allies. There's no Shiites to work alongside with as there was in 2003. Now, both the Sunnis, the Shiites, and even some of the Kurds have been disgruntled. Now, they're all the enemy. And who has been supportive of such a troop surge? Nancy Pelosi said it was needed. I mean, this woman, you know, her father actually was one of the founders of Israel. He was part of one of the original terrorist organizations that was active before Israel was created. It was regarded as a terrorist organization by the British to try to create Israel. So, you know, she has obviously a stake in this. And I wonder if this whole impeachment against Trump was to try to force his hand into doing this stuff.
Well, and then you say all that and it starts convincing me because I know the history of all that. And it's absolutely true. I think Trump's legitimately trying to get us out of these wars. The deep state's been trying to stop that. But he did work with Russia and at least got back to allow the ISIS Al-Qaeda groups to be taken out. He's trying to work with Turkey, I think, to try to mop that up. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. I know that the deep state tried to embarrass Trump through Kim Jong-un and China until Trump got strong and then Kim Jong-un backed down. So I think Trump's really sending a message
with
to
Putin as well. Sorry, with Putin, too.
Sure. So what do you think Trump thinks he's doing is my question.
I think, I think they told him that this is a bad man that killed people and we need to take him out. I don't think he realizes the gravity of the situation because now this man is one of the most powerful men in Iran. And so
I don't think he's the second most powerful. He was the most popular and most powerful person. I mean, because the Ayatollah is a moron, reportedly. We just killed the head of the Iranian government.
Something along those lines. And so anyone in the Iranian government right now is going to feel personally under threat. And if you're going to feel, or even any of the world leaders right now are feeling personally under threat. And if that's the case, you know, what they have to retaliate. They have to do something.
All right, let's talk about that, Syria girl. And I promise callers, I'm going to get to you one way or another. I love you. I appreciate you. And I respect you. And I apologize. I haven't gone to you yet, but Carlos and Josh and everybody, I'm coming to you next with Syrian girl. But listen how smart she is. Listen how smart Pachinik is. Listen to all this. This is real politics. This is how really complex it is. It's not just this or that. It's really complex. Clearly, it's about the fact that the Islamic regime is very unpopular and there is an attempt to overthrow it by the people. And folks want that to happen. And Trump does not want a Shiite-Sunni civil war starting. They let the Iranians go in with the Russians, and that's who mainly did most of the work. So when Trump's talking about taking out Al-Qaeda and ISIS, I love our military, but it was Russia and the Iranians. Now the Iranians, though, are like, hey, we're going to take everything else over. We're not stopping. And so in Trump's view and why he made the decision, as I predicted, it's why he did it. They said, sir, he's going to keep expanding just like ISIS, so you have to stop him, too. So Trump said, I took action to stop a war. Now let's see if he can control the neocons and the deep staters from that. Because once you feed the pirate, it's going to want more and more. But I do think they came, just like Syrian girl said, and said, sir, he's a bad guy. He does all this. You can show him at public executions, hanging people and stuff. And Trump said, well, get that guy. Because he's a real personal type guy. He doesn't want to just kill random troops. Oh, you want me to kill the head of something? I'll do that. So that's my view. And Syrian girl, your response to what you just saw the president, Trump, say?
I was more interested in what he didn't say. What was missing in his speech was any mention of Al-Qaeda and the leader of Al-Qaeda, al-Zulani, which is still in Syria's Idlib. You know, we're being told that he needed to really kill this guy, but what about the guy that he really needs to kill, you know, the people that we were told that are responsible for 9/11? So it's because that guy is currently fighting Assad. And the deep state doesn't want him removed. They don't want Al-Qaeda to be removed. And actually, The Guardian translated one of Al-Qaeda's, one of the leader of Al-Qaeda's speeches recently. So that was, you know, very interesting. But yet here killing the people who are fighting ISIS. And I do have to say, you know, the fact is that the Shiites already took over everything in Iraq since 2003. They already had everything. So, but that was the point of the Iraq war, because they told us that the Shiites were the majority and the Saddam was, you know, had a Sunni, who was a Sunni and he was leading a Sunni minority. And that's why we have to flip it over to them. And they indeed want, the deep state wanted a civil war. And that's why the, then in 2004, the U.S.'s, ambassador wrote a constitution that federalized and cut up and carved up the country. They wanted a civil war. So, not to mention, you remember when they set up those explosives and they pretended that they were dressed up as terrorists while they were setting it up, the British in Basra.
No, that's so, right. But know, I mean, you just, Trump's being told, though, he's going to stop a civil war. So he thinks he's stopping the previous policy of civil war. But you think he's being set up.
I'm very confused as to how this could stop a civil war. Like, this has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with anything to do with civil war. But Trump, we know, is being surrounded gradually by more and more swampish people like Pompeo, like Lindsey Graham. You know, the fact is that he has been given bad intelligence in the past. For example, on Syria and the chemical attack that happened in Douma, in, you know, 2017, 2018, we know now from the OPCW leaks that the whole thing was a sham. And yet Trump was misled into bombing Syria over that. That scene that you're being shown right now, it has been proven to be those kids.
It's now confirmed that it was a fake false flag. You're absolutely right. Stay there. I do agree with the Syrian girl.
This whole thing is more difficult to decipher than you could imagine. This could set off a larger conflagration in the Middle East with Iran. Iran just today... Earlier today, the authorities of the Islamic Republic of Iran raised the red flag of Hussein over the Holy Dome of Jamkara Mosque in Qom. The raising of the red flag gives a precise signal. It indicates that a major war is to come or is even now underway. This is the way they're speaking to us now. And so we have to be very, very careful. From here on out, the military-industrial complex—they want war with Iran. Israelis—they want war with Iran. They want to use us as surrogates to fight their wars. And I'm of the opinion, like Colonel McDonald recently was interviewed on Tucker Carlson's program, and he says we should use this opportunity now to get out. And I think we should too. And I think Rand Paul, he's of the same opinion and many of the other people. We're not going to do any good over there. We're getting drawn in to another war in Iraq. And this will do nothing but destroy more and more of our good, responsible, patriotic soldiers who we need to prosecute wars that are legitimate and that are worthwhile for our country and for our freedoms and liberties. I want to thank you for listening tonight. So good night and God bless each and every one of you out there in radio land. Good night. Bye-bye.